Well, today I would like to take you guys through an overview of Ruth. So open your books to the book of Ruth. And we're going to, I have a sermon entitled Faith Training. And we're going to look at the life of Ruth and how she applied God's word to her own life. And we're going to watch her as her faith is being developed and is grown. Now, faith is defined as a persuasion, is how I'm going to define it tonight. And so, for the Christian, it's our reliance upon Christ. And can you remember when Christ just really touched your heart and you thought about your own sin and you placed faith in Him? And you were persuaded to allow Him to take away your sin so that you could become clean. You were persuaded that you were going to be judged by your own sin. And you were persuaded that there was a God who loved you. And that's the message of the cross, is that God loves us through His Son, Jesus. And we're going to see this persuasion or this faith be developed as Ruth applies God's word to her life one act at a time. And so, having faith in God means applying what you know God has told you. And by applying God's word, your faith grows. So I'm going to give I'm going to break it down into three different topics. First, I'm going to talk about conversion. Then I'm going to talk about application. And then I'm going to talk about transformation. The book starts off, the book of Ruth, it starts off reading in chapter 1, verse 2. Let me catch up with you guys. Actually, we open the story up, and we're introduced to Naomi and her family. That's how the story begins. So, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. So there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem. And they went and they left Bethlehem to go to the country of Moab there to get food. And there they settled. And we're going to skip over some things, but I'm going to share with you guys that early on they went to the land of Moab because they left the famine. And Elimelech, he dies right after they settle. Then the two sons of Naomi and Elimelech, they marry Orpah and Ruth. And here we're introduced to Ruth. Now the sons, they both die. Now Naomi is left with Orpah and Ruth. And then this is really where I want to begin. But as a side note, Naomi and her family, they left the country of Bethlehem, which in Hebrew means the house of bread. And I believe that God intended to provide for them even in the famine. He wanted them to trust in Him. And so them leaving, I believe, was sin. And we'll see later on that Naomi agrees. And she feels that as a result, this was judgment upon her and her family of the death of her husband and her two sons. Now, jumping ahead, we find out that Naomi hears that God has visited her country with bread again. So she determines to go back. And here her two daughter-in-laws, they begin back with her. And we're going to jump in verse 12 of chapter 1. And we'll see that Naomi, she tries to run off. these two daughters as they venture back with her. In verse 12, just right in the beginning, it says, "Turn back, my daughters. Go." She doesn't want them to come with her. And then in the middle of verse 13, we see that she tells them that she is grieved that the hand of the Lord has been against her for their sakes. But picking up in verse 14, we see this after she tells them to go. Verse 14 says, "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Verse 15, "And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God.'" So here we see that Ruth's faith begins. And that was the first point. The first point in this study tonight is conversion. Now, Ruth, she gives up all that she has known to follow Naomi. She gives up her people. She gives up her homeland. She gives up her friends. And we will see that Naomi, her mother-in-law, is really bitter. So against the odds and against her mother-in-law, who actually is very bitter, having lost her family and really feeling the judgment of God upon her, she is a bitter woman. And so Ruth begins back with Naomi under these circumstances. You know, part of Naomi's bitterness is that she was in sin, and she's returning with a Moabitess. You know, she didn't want her two daughter-in-laws to come back to Bethlehem with her, because then they would know the country, her friends and her family, and the nation would know that she had gone and there dwelt in Moab and there took daughters for her sons and that were worshiping other gods. And as we read in the Old Testament, we find out that the Lord, he cautions the Israelites from being involved, for taking spouses from the countries in the area because of the foreign gods that they worshiped. And what would happen with an unbeliever if you were to wed? So, when you began placing your faith in the God of Israel, you know, as we go along, I want us to consider what it's been like on our own faith journey, and how God has encouraged us. And I want to ultimately have us to consider how we can apply God's word to our own lives and watch our faith grow. So when you began placing your faith in the God of Israel, what did you give up? Were there friends that you had to give up or ought to give up? Co-workers? Were there bitter people that were standing in your way? What challenged your faith? So now we're going to intro back into Bethlehem. We're going to see Naomi and her daughter-in-law, the Moabitess Ruth, returning. And we're going to see, as Naomi is reunited with her family and friends, and the town is actually very excited that she has returned. But she doesn't want to be called Naomi anymore. She wants to be called Bitter. She tells everybody, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Bitter." In Hebrew, Mara. So she says, "Only call me Bitter," which is Mara. She doesn't want to be called anything else. So now let's move into application. Now, I believe that the text that we're going to read suggests that Ruth was being discipled by Naomi herself, bitter and all. And which is a side note for any of us who have been bitter and really feel that we have really messed it up and we're not really been following the Lord and we feel like that God can't use us. And I think that the Lord provided opportunity for Naomi to repent of her bitterness. and to be used in discipling Ruth. So Ruth begins applying God's word to her life. I'm going to read to you guys a verse. If you guys want to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, I want to look at a text that she's going to apply in her life before she applies it. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 says this. It says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands." Now, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, we see that she's going to apply this to her life. Now, I want you to note that Ruth is a widow. And so here in Deuteronomy 24, we see that God has a welfare system, and he cares for his people. He cares for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And Ruth comes to know this truth. And we see that in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, we see, "So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.'" So she goes, and as a widow, she owns this verse in Deuteronomy. And the only way that I can imagine that she would know that this verse would apply to her is having been taught it by Naomi. Now, we're going to come and we're going to be introduced to a struggle that I believe that that she would have had in order to venture out and to go and glean in the field after the reapers. So let's talk about how difficult it can be to apply God's word in our lives. Imagine if you're Ruth, you know, you say that I am going to apply God's word to my life. And just think of what she had to overcome in order to do that, because, you know, this is a land where there are Hebrews, and her skin color might be different, being a Moabitess. Her hair is different. Her clothes are different. The people are going to know that she's different. And imagine what it would take for her to venture out and to go out into a field, someone else's field. Have any of you guys going out into someone else's property and going out on their property and walking out in it and looking around to see what you can pick up and what you can glean and what you can take home for yourselves? It'd be very dangerous to do that. And so Ruth would have to she would have to be persuaded that this God of Israel meant he was going to protect her. In my flesh, that's what I would say. I would say that, you know, me, a Moabitess, you want me to go and glean in the field after the reapers in a Hebrew field? You know, I don't think I can do that. But her faith in God, she was able to cast out her fear and step forward and just say, you know what? I believe that God is going to bless me no matter what happens. And so she applies this to her life. And so, again, we need to reflect on ourselves, and I need to ask myself, you know, do I take God's word and apply it to my own life? And I like that she's exposed to this truth, and she says, you know what, I'm going to apply this to me today. So there's no procrastination. So Ruth finds a field and gleans after the reapers, and God tremendously blesses her. He blesses her so much that she is able to provide for herself and for her mother-in-law. So God blessed the application. She wasn't harmed in any way. In fact, if you read on your own, she was protected. I think, the Lord has, he asked us to, you know, to make disciples of all nations. And I know that we're supposed to proclaim the gospel from the rooftops. And so we're supposed to be bold in sharing our faith with others. And I know it can be a struggle sometimes. And it's a struggle for my own self. And the other day, you know, I was at work, and there was a manhole that we were around, and we were down in the manhole. It's not, I work for the sewer areas, and this wasn't the actual sewer, but it was something similar. And so we're down in a vault, and there's two of us there, and these kids come up because it's summertime, and there's a park across the street, and there was a fair going on, and there's all these kids everywhere, and these two kids stopped, and they were interested in what we were doing. And we were so busy, I didn't pay them much attention, but they just stood there, and they were wanting to talk. And so I felt the Lord remind me of just the opportunity to share my faith. And so I asked the kids, they were both about 10, and they had set their bikes down, and they're over there talking to us. And I said, my heart began to beat, but I wanted to step out and apply that verse to my life about just sharing the gospel, you know, about proclaiming the gospel from the rooftops. And I figured on the standing on ground level was close enough to applying that verse. But I said, hey, guys, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Jesus? Well, one of the boys, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I was like, that's good. I asked the other kid, what do you believe? He said, I believe in science. And I thought about, the Nacho Libre. You know, he would have had to have known that. You know, he would have had to have seen that recently in order to say that. A 10-year-old, you know. And I was able to share with him in a logical way that how there has to be creation. And I challenged him in so many ways. And then he, all his front melted down. And I learned that, you know, about his own life and his own struggles and his own breakup between his parents and what was really going on in his life. And I shared to him the God who wants to heal. And I believe that he listened to me. And I hope to possibly see him in heaven someday. But I was encouraged by stepping out and applying that verse to my life and to his. So reading on, again, we see that Ruth applies God's word to her life. And again, I want to jump in and look at the text that she applies before she applies it. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. And so we all know that Ruth is a widow, so she's single. So the scripture, Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, says this: if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. Now, jumping into chapter 3, verse 1, we see Naomi, her mother-in-law, says to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" She has been working for two harvests in the field day after day. If you look at verse 23 in chapter 2, you will see that there was a barley harvest and there was a wheat harvest that Ruth worked through before we get to this point. So some time has elapsed by when we get to this verse in chapter 3 of verse 1. So when she says, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now, Ruth has been providing food for Naomi day after day. And if you read in the text on your own, you'll find out that she was working from when the sun came up to when the sun came down. And she was working really hard to bring this food home and to sustain them, because they had no other means of support for themselves. So Naomi, she says this in verse 1. And then in verse 2 it says, "Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative?" So here, if you would read in the text, you would learn that the field that she's gone out to glean after the reapers is actually the property no other than Boaz. And he actually is family. So Ruth says to him, now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? Is he not our family? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now, Naomi, she goes on to tell Ruth to go to Boaz and to communicate to him his duty as family. Now, in the text, it says that the deceased brother is supposed to go in and take his wife or the widow as a spouse. But if we just carry the verse through, you know, if there is no brother, then it's, well, who's next? And, you know, God wants them to stay in the family. And not only, if you go on and read in that Deuteronomy chapter 25, you're going to find out that once the brother or the nearest family or the nearest of kin takes to wife the widow, the first child is to bear the name and the inheritance of the deceased. And so there's the duty of the husband to care for the wife and for the firstborn to bear the name and take on the inheritance. So Naomi tells Ruth to go to Boaz and communicate to him his duty as family. Now the communication, if you read, you will see that it's going to be requested or demanded or presented by going and laying down at this man's feet. And this is what Naomi is telling Ruth and instructing her about how to go and communicate to Boaz the duty or the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 25. So now consider, you know, what would possess a person's mind to say yes to this, to go and lay at a person's feet? We'll find out that what's going on in the text, if we read in chapter 3, you'll find out in verse 3 and on that this night that Naomi is talking about, Boaz and all of his workers are actually outside, and they're actually around where all the piles of the grain are. And they're doing the threshing, and they're separating, you know, the good stuff from the bad stuff. And it would be done outside. And it would be done likely on top of a hill where there would be extra wind. But when she goes and lays, and we'll find out she does, but Naomi tells her to go and lay at this man's feet. So this is with the workers outside. So there's nothing improper about this. I know when you first read the text, you think that Naomi is up to matchmaking, you know, as some mothers are. But, you know, it's totally done in decency and in honor, I believe, if you read the text on your own. So, but now we're back to considering Ruth and putting ourselves in her shoes and applying this to your own life. We saw how she took the first truth and she applied it to her life. And that was going out and gleaning in a field. And that seems a little more reasonable now that we see what's being expected of her here as Ruth, as she is instructed. And so let's talk about where we are, about how difficult it is to apply God's word to our life again. Imagine Ruth, again, is thinking, am I going to apply this to my life? Again, she realizes, or she thinks that in the flesh, she's reminded that she's a Moabitess woman. And no way that a Hebrew is going to take me in marriage. It doesn't make any sense. And so why is this Hebrew going to take a non-Hebrew, you know, and apply this verse to me? But her faith in God, again, allowed her to step out and apply this verse to her life. And she casted out fear. And she said, again, no matter what happens, I know that God is going to use this. He's going to be for me and not against me. And so she asked Boaz to perform the duty of the husband's brother or the nearest of kin. Naomi taught her this truth, and Ruth applied it to her. Let's pick up in chapter 3, verse 3, and read it for ourselves. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on the best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lays down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Now, I like this next verse. Next verse says, so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her to do. I think that Ruth was a woman of instruction. She said that she would do all that you have instructed me to do. So, transformation begins. Applying God's word to her life was building faith. It was building faith. When she first gave her life to the Lord, she had to venture all the way to Bethlehem. And she went there with a bitter mom and against the odds, knowing that she might not be accepted. She might be discriminated against for her race. And so in the beginning, it may have been a hard walk for her, not really getting any kudos back from the Lord, you know, just stepping forward and beginning to walk and walking with a bitter mother-in-law and not knowing where you were going or what was going to become of you. So applying God's word to your life and my life, I think it involves a discipleship. Is one thing. I think that we see that Ruth had a teachable spirit, and I think that's important to us. And I think about the instruction. She said that she would do all according to all. She did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And I think of the in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. It says this. It says, take firm hold of instruction, and do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 6, verse 23b says, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And I think about all the times that, you know, I have been instructed and, you know, and rebuked. And I have to maintain a teachable spirit along the way. Otherwise, I can no longer receive instruction. So consider how her faith was being built. She left her people. She risked a persecution. She goes out and gleans in the field of the Hebrew. And yet, God gives her success when applying His word. But she experienced success only after she stepped out through application. So applying God's word to her life gave her success in at least two areas. Number one was food, and another was the husband. We will read, if you continue to reading, you'll find out that Boaz, he when she lays at his feet, he's startled, and you know, there's a conversation that comes to pass, and he understands that she is laying at his feet for because he's the nearest of kin, and he knows that she is actually requesting marriage to him. And one of the things that I think is cool about Boaz is he's also a man who seeks instruction. Because you will read on your own that the first thing that Boaz does is say, you know, there is, you know, he said, blessed are you, for you have been more kind to me in the end than in the beginning. And thinking about their time in the field, you know, during the wheat harvest and during the barley harvest, and he's flattered that she has come and laid at his feet. He's flattered that she wants him as a husband. But you will see that Boaz, he says, you know, there is someone closer in the family than I. So even though that he's flattered, and even though that she has offered herself to him, or she's requesting that he would apply that verse to her life, he says there is a nearer kinsman than I. And so what we see Boaz do is we see him go in to the town and assemble like the elders together, and he seeks their instruction. And he brings that nearest kinsman into the group of instructors or counselors or elders. And he displays to them what's going on. And he asks them, and they bring in the guy. And he offers to this guy everything that belongs, inheritance, to the deceased, including Ruth. And he declines. And so Boaz accepts Ruth's hand in marriage. So, not only did God give her success with the food, but also with the husband. And the husband also sought instruction. So we see two people that are have an instructable heart. So that's an encouragement for us all, that we all need to seek instruction. I think Boaz did. And from godly folks, obviously, and there's a verse that talks about seeking instruction in a multitude of counselors. And so having faith in God means applying what you know God has told you. And applying God's word to your life grows your faith. In closing, I wanted to add something I think is marvelous. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And one of the things that I like about the book of Ruth is by applying God's word to her life, God accomplished an amazing thing through Ruth. And what he accomplished through her is not just what we see in the book of Ruth, but later on at the end of the chapter, you'll find out that they do get married and they do live happily ever after. And one of the things that they do is they have a son. And that son his name is Obed. And that's what I wanted to name one of our children. And but my wife, she wouldn't have it. But Boaz and Ruth went on to have a son named Obed. Obed had a son, his name was Jesse. And Jesse had a son, and his name was King David. So the marvelous thing about this is when, you know, you apply God's word to your life, you know, God really will use you, and he can accomplish amazing things through you. And I think that the book of Ruth, the life of Ruth and the life of Naomi, in the life of Boaz, have actually touched our life tonight. I think we have a great a scripture study, and we see great faith, and we see it grown marvelously. And not only that, but we have a Savior that has come through this lineage. And one of the cool things is obviously that Ruth she's not a Jew. She's not an Israelite, but because she gave her life to the God of Israel, she became one of God's children, and God used her to bring Jesus Christ, our Savior. I think that's marvelous. Well, with that, I would like to close us in a word of prayer.